Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Specialists are back, and today we are recapping episode number 9 of The Amazing Race 36. Only 1 week remains for this season, and we are going to break down what was very predictable and done. And the thing is, with Angie and Danny going out, I did lose a lot of interest. I didn't know how much of an impact that was going to have on me and my viewing experience and my excitement for each episode. But when Danny and Angie weren't there this week, there was a big hole. And not having Danny especially, I felt like, was a little rough. Yvonne and Melissa, wasn't surprised to see them be the team that ultimately ended up finishing last, and we'll talk.
They could have almost not been last, though.
They were actually way closer. Normally when the edit is doing all that stuff, I'm saying to myself, oh man, they weren't even close. Vinny and Amber were on the mat when Yvonne and Melissa were coming in, so that was actually really close. I just it sucked not having Danny and Angie. It was a bummer, and I think with how this shook out then, you did have four teams that I was pretty confident were going to make it through this leg. Amber and Vinny were the decoy, but Amber and Vinny, even with all of their communication difficulties, all of their problems, they were still able to get through. And I think they're probably your fourth place team. I don't think they're going to end up racing to the finish line. I think they're going to be your fourth place team. Although Rod and Leticia could do anything, but that's just where I felt on this episode. It wasn't bad. It just felt like there was a big hole missing.
I agree. Danny has such like an excitement for the race where like you feel that from other teams too. Like unexpectedly you get that from Rod. Like, you know, this is why we do it, and we're going to the next thing. Yeah. But it's just not like Danny's level of like super fandom, where you don't really see Amazing Race super fans as like, you know, upbeat and bright as he was, and game savvy as well.
Yeah, I think that was it. And then to also make them the underdog, like Cesar and Ricky, they are super fans, but they're not the underdog. They're such favorites because of their knowledge of the race that it makes it a little bit harder to root for them. Although I am at the point now where just give me greatness. Like, just give me greatness. Just give them the win. I feel like it would be more satisfying for them to win than it would for them to lose.
Yeah, like, I don't know how they lose, but also I want to see it if it is able to happen. I don't know. Because, like, at the pit stop, Phil was like, they only need one small thing that can trip them up. And Rod and Leticia and Shane and Juan were at the pit stop together, and they were like, we just need that one thing and capitalize it.
Yeah. And I feel like, so Justin Heinrich says right here, Rod is carrying the show now. Rod was the star tonight. I mean, Rod is the personality. Rod not being able to throw a baseball from second base to first base is pure entertainment. I would watch that every day for the rest of my life. That was so good. And I feel like he did kind of have to fill in for the hole that was made by Danny. And I know, so we do our Survivor fantasy game through Real TV Fantasy. Which has been a godsend this year. If you're not familiar with Real TV Fantasy, you should get involved. It's if you want to run your fantasy game, it is absolute perfection.
Currently in fourth place.
What are you in? Fourth? Wow. Yeah. See, I'm impressed with myself that I'm in 11th despite having to do a draft with Blake and Will. Will kept saying, oh, this is benefiting the alphas. It's benefiting the alphas. Yeah, it's benefiting the alphas so much that Will's in 24th of 29. So how's that looking for your alphas there, Mr. Will? But I think there was something where it was like they track confessionals. I think Danny had the most. And so like that is a massive gap that is missing. And Rod was really good in this episode, being able to fill in for that. Let's start talking though. So we're going to have four teams left. Actually, McKenna and I were talking before this, and we're actually going to wait. So I'm on vacation next week. That's when the Amazing Race finale is. McKenna and Celestina are going to jump on and do their normal route info at some point that week. And I am going to recap the Amazing Race on Monday. So me and McKenna will be live on Monday, May 20th, and we'll recap the finale. This way I can give my final thoughts on the season. And I feel like that just makes more sense with what we've done with this show rather than, you know, me just disappearing. You never know what I feel about the finale. But we're down to four teams, but let's talk about how the five teams went through this portion of the race. And let's talk first about this first, what was it? It was a roadblock, correct?
Roadblock. Who can see the writing on the wall?
This was so hard.
This is amazing race classic for me. This was like, finally, we have something that people can, you know, catch up on or pass or do something where it's not just like, bring, get it done, get out.
And that's what I was going to say. Normally I get on the Amazing Race for being too easy. And I'm grateful that they went and made something this hard.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like sometimes like, okay, that baseball one is a joke. That's a joke. Like, I understand, like, would my wife be able to hit with the stick and do that? Probably not. But I feel like any team is going to have at least one person who can compete and do that, no matter what. Throwing from second base to first is the easiest throw in baseball. Catching a pop fly that is not a pop fly, you know, is very easy. Like, these things, like, that wasn't like skyrocketed. This is easy. And so for this to be as difficult as it was, it kind of brought me a little bit of joy. I was into it. I said, hell yeah, it's about time we get something like this. And this was hard.
Yeah. Not only did you have 10 symbols to memorize, you had fronts and backs of the stones where one small thing was different. And I was like, all right, this is hard enough with memorizing and trying to find all 10 symbols while you're traversing this course. But now you have to memorize like complete like images because there's fronts and backs. And does one thing have a tail? Does one thing not have a tail? Like, that was crazy.
And that's what I think of, right? Like, when you do these types of memory games, you normally say to yourself, okay, there's a circle here and a triangle here. Like, I can kind of visualize that. The little man thing that was like the arch with the little legs, the bird looking thing. Every now and then you'll get one that's trying to trip you up. But for the most part, you can do a memory challenge, a memory game, just by being able to like mnemonic it, right? Like circle, C, this, that, whatever. This one was, oh, this one has more of a tail. This one's eye is facing left. This one has three little toes instead of two. These were really tough, especially since you're doing this through a physical portion where you're going down the water. This was an awesome challenge. I was super, super, super into this challenge. And I hope that the Amazing Race does more things like this in the future, because this is what piques my interest. Of all the challenges, of all the roadblocks, of all the detours we've seen so far this season, this is the one that will stay with me for sure the most.
Yeah, I agree. What I also loved was when Rod and Melissa came down the waterfall, Cesar immediately pulls Melissa. And I'm like, that's good, because he says it's because she's really good at fine details or whatever. I think it's because they know they can beat them moving forward. So even if they leave at the same time, they're beating Yovan and Melissa the rest of the way, where Rod and Leticia, if he chose to work with Rod, they might not be able to win against them.
Yeah, no, I think that it showed everything, right? And then that forces Juan and Shane to work with Rod and Leticia, because it's making them have to work with a stronger team, even if they necessarily don't want to. And it was crazy how it was Melissa. Melissa just could not still figure it out. Even with all the clues on the hinge, she kept being one away and then would flip the wrong one after that and keep being one away.
And what was interesting was she's been in DR for, like, she's done a study or whatever in DR and actually was at these falls or like some that are similar. And she knew that this was going to be a run. And Rod didn't, and was just, he was sprinting up this hill just to be met with Melissa, like right at his tail. So that, I thought that was just a funny sequence, that he was just like, how is she right behind me? This little woman right behind me.
Yeah, she wouldn't go away. I know. I love that. I thought that was great. Yeah, and it was one of those things where this must be popular enough of a place that enough people had gone. And it was funny to see Rod kind of have his – what I love about Rod is his ego is harmless. Mm-hmm. His ego is funny rather than I'm so much better than this. Like, he's not like misogynistic. He's not sexist. He's always pulling Letitia through. Not for nothing. Letitia's a freaking badass. I mean, her sprinting to the finish line at the end, I was like, oh, my God. But the thing with him is he's like silly. And I loved watching his cockiness get to him today, where I'm going to sprint this. I'm just going to run it. And then he gets caught by her. He's going to do great in the baseball one. And then he sucked at pretty much every single portion of the baseball one, except for the pop fly. I like seeing that from Rod, because Rod's the type of guy who smiles and laughs about it rather than smashing things. So, yeah, good for Melissa for knowing that. But I think she panicked with the stones, because it seemed like she just started flipping random ones. And I think at the end of the day, when you have 10, you're not confident. If you're not confident in seven of them, you start flipping each of the seven. And now you're flipping right ones to wrong and wrong ones to right. Mm-hmm. And you're never figuring out which ones are actually right and which are wrong. I feel like she panicked. I also thought it was interesting that the Amazing Race, because generally they'll say, oh, if you get it wrong, you have to go back out. On this one, they didn't make her go back out. And Melissa just kept standing there, flipping them over, saying, how about now? How about now? How about now? How about now?
Yeah. And like, it was just so frustrating to watch her almost have it and then look at other people's as they were leaving and still not get it. And I'm like, Melissa, you could have been in fourth here.
Yeah.
Or higher, because if they left right after Ricky and Cesar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have killed it. They could have killed it. And that is the bummer of the situation, because she could have absolutely been amazing. All right, after that one, they move on to
the cacao seeds.
What'd you think of the cacao seeds, which look like alien disgusting life forms?
If anybody has listened to Celestine and my coverage on The Amazing Race in seasons past, I hate Root Info. So the irony of us calling our Patreon show Root Info is not lost on me. But this one, I feel like, is important and is a good version of Root Info, where it's basically one half of a detour, where it matters to do the task. Like, you will change placement. There was one Root Info where they had to like run around this fake elephant three times. And it's like, why are they going someplace to run around this elephant that's not going to do anything? So I liked that this Root Info, they did something and it mattered. It gave people the chance to leave before other people, or, you know, use their heads of should we use this tool or not? And that made them fall a little bit further behind or what have you. So like, I actually did like this Root Info.
Totally agree with you. To the point where, so when I'm watching The Amazing Race, I have The Amazing Race in one window. I have a huge desktop. So I have The Amazing Race in one half of the screen, and then I'm kind of working on the other, and I'm listening, half watching. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it as closely as I watch Survivor. I don't feel like I need to, because I still do pretty good on the recaps even. But then I was like, wait, did I miss the detour explanation? Like, what happened? I didn't hear detour. I didn't hear the words detour. What's going on here? And so I felt like I had missed something. So I went back and I watched it again. I'm like, no, it's not a detour. They're actually just doing something. I totally agree with you. The Root Info, and we see it again later in this episode after they do the Bartolo Colon baseball field. They do Root Info where they go somewhere, pick up a note, and then go somewhere else.
That's my least favorite. It makes no sense.
Why did you go over there? Why even do it? Just don't do anything. It makes more sense to just do nothing. Every time you go somewhere, there should be a reason. Or it should be like earlier in the season, climb to the top of all these steps and get your next clue. And then it just sends you somewhere else. That's a challenge within itself. That is something that is difficult that you could fall behind or gain on people by having to climb all those steps.
Or do a cultural experience, like where, you know, you don't necessarily have to, you know, complete a challenge, but there's still something like, you know, do something within the culture to, I think they've gone to like, you know, temples and things like that, experience something and then come out. Like, I hate when it's just go here, find another clue, rip it open, go somewhere else. And it's like, it means nothing.
Rihanna's house was as close as I'll get to them doing nothing, but me almost being accepting. Cause it's like, okay, it's Rihanna's house. I understand why they're doing Rihanna's house. That one makes sense to me. No qualms, whatever, but it's still like, you got to do something. And so, I love the cacao thing, especially this was tough. This wasn't just a basic thing. And I almost wonder if they were planning a detour, but because this was during COVID times, I almost wonder if the other option for the detour had to shut down or something. And that's the reason why they ultimately ended up having everybody do this. Cause this felt like a detour, not a route info.
Yeah.
And maybe like they didn't have enough time to fix anything. Something shut down in the Dominican Republic and they said, okay, we have to figure something out. Boom. Let's just do route info, but make everybody do the challenge.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Look at me. I'm an Amazing Race stan. Look at that. I can figure it out all on my own. No, Amazing Race specialist
over here.
Because think about it. With all the other route infos that we've had this season, they've never come close to doing anything this difficult. This was also, they had to keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, this was no easy task.
I think the minimum was three, but at that point they had like bags full. Yeah. Like it wasn't half-assed bags. It was like full bags.
Let's ask a question here. What did you think about Vincent deciding he was going to climb every single tree rather than use the tool?
It's a choice. I think the tool would have been less strenuous and he would have been less exhausted, but to each their own. If they're not getting the hang of it, you know what? Just let him go at that point.
I think what's funny is, right, like, there's easier ways to complete tasks. But if you're not understanding the way to make the other easier way easier, sometimes you just say, you know what? I'm just going to do it the way I know how. I'll just bowl through it. I think about that. It's a lot with like physical labor or something like that. It'd be like, I know how to use a shovel. I don't know how to use that machine. That machine would make things easier, but I don't know how to use it. So I'm just going to use the shovel and it's just going to get done. And I feel like that's the point he got to. He said, I don't get this. This isn't worth it. So I'm going to climb every tree. But climbing all those trees is insane. Like that is not easy either. And so he had to do that.
So flimsy.
I know. I'm actually surprised they let him do that.
Yeah.
And that, Esther Negron right here, doesn't climbing the tree damage the tree?
The last one that he climbs, like a whole branch just broke off and he was like, oops, didn't mean to do that. And it's like, now you're ruining this cacao field.
I know. And then we have Justin Heinrich say, Amber and Vinny shading each other the entire task was funny, although it's starting to get a little old after literally every episode. This was the episode where I think it bothered me the least because they both actually were being ridiculous, unlike in other episodes where it feels like they're just nitpicking each other. This one was just absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it did feel like it was a little less than other episodes because, you know, obviously they started out this leg of the race being like, yep, and this leg we're going to be nice and like not be passive aggressive and not be aggressive. And I'm like, you said that the last start of the last leg. It's the same intro confessional.
I know. Now let me ask you this, because then as we go into the next roadblock, do you think that the baseball was supposed to be the other half of the detour? And then they figured out that they were too dissimilar. That one was significantly faster than the other. I mean, Cesar, I think it was Cesar, did this in under 10 minutes. Do you think they realized that these were too easy, too disparate, and they ultimately decided, let's have a second roadblock? Do they normally do second roadblocks this late in the season?
I don't know about this late, but they have done a shakeup in like the order of things where they've done like double roadblock or double detour or something like that. Or, you know, like you did one half of the detour, now you have to do the other one, then go to the pit stop or something like that. Like I wasn't shocked when it was another roadblock, but, you know, I can see the point of view that it was the other part of the detour, because this guy in the truck drove them to the baseball field as well.
Yeah.
So I feel like if it was supposed to be, all right, go to the next thing, then that guy in the truck was not going to be driving them.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, I was just trying to think, because this one seems so easy. I mean, for a roadblock, and I know it seemed like they kind of went with the stronger guy to do all of these, and in, it was just like, I feel like anybody could have done this for the most part.
Should have done it. I feel like Rod is up so many in roadblocks.
Rod can't do anymore. She said that. She said, this is your last roadblock.
I would have let Leticia done it, even though it's sports.
I think that's, again, where Rod's cockiness kind of got in his own head, and then he wasn't even that good at it, and they had such a lead. Stop competing for second, and when you're this close to the end, you're not going to beat Ricky and Cesar, so just compete to not be last. And if that means Leticia has to go out there, and maybe she's a little bit worse, honestly, she would have been better than Rod anyway, but if she's a little bit worse, at least you leave the option open for the more important legs of the race of who gets to go and compete in each roadblock, because now Rod is done. The entire like that's where if Amber and Vinny get into the final three, and I'm not saying Leticia's weak by any means, like I said,
no,
but if they get into something that would be way better for Rod to do, and Vinny's able to do it, and he's able to do it faster than Leticia, that's where Amber and Vinny sneak into the final three, and Rod and Leticia don't.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I think limiting yourself that much where like they can't do another roadblock is so like, why would you limit yourself for the final leg or like the final leg and a half?
Yeah. And now they have, and I think they're the only team that has, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, cause they're also the only team that double did their person. Like Rod was the only one who went twice. Everyone else
split
one and the other, but Amber said she should have done this one because she did play softball, and maybe like she's less confident in doing roadblocks. So if she feels like she would have been more confident in this one, to take that, because Vinny is like, I'll do whatever.
Yeah, Vinny and Amber definitely have really bad communication. That's the easiest way to say that one, right? Like they just have really bad communication.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because I feel like they could be a good mixed gender team. And instead they do kind of come across as the more frustrating of the teams to watch. And like a lot of their decisions and stuff. And it seems like they kind of keep running into the same mistakes over and over again. And it does come down to communication. And Rod and Leticia, I think they communicate well. I think they just don't always think before they act. I think Amber and Vinny's is very much that they actually are struggling to communicate.
And the directions at the end where Amber's like, I don't know, do you know, do you know, do you know? And then we see them arrive at the pit stop before Yvonne and Melissa. And it's like, I think Yvonne and Melissa got a more direct route. They also had a driver who knew where they were going to that route info. So they did make up a decent amount of time, but just not enough.
Yeah, I think that. So what did you think about this driver? The driver just would not, it seemed like the driver was just not caring at all that they were trying to get his attention and argue with him. Was this played up, or was this driver kind of like a showboating person? Because obviously they had to get approval because they showed his face on the show. So it's not like he was trying to hide who he was. You think he was showboating a little bit because he was on TV? What do you think was up with this?
I don't know. That was so funny, though. I was like, this is how they get fifth place. And Yvonne and Melissa squeak through again. Let's go.
They gave you hope.
It gave me hope. And this one was like one of the closest where like I actually thought there was hope. But once Yvonne and Melissa arrived at the clue box, like, and nobody was around, like, we didn't even see Amber and Vinny, like, leave the gates. I felt like they weren't going to get it. But still, there was that twinkle of, like, the directions were slightly, like, slightly longer or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know what the heck was up with that cab driver. Like, I've never seen a cab driver who's like, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm not going to stop at a gas station. I'm not going to call anyone. Like, they typically always call.
And just being so dismissive. I mean, so dismissive of the two of them and their concerns and stuff. And that was pretty crazy. So yeah, I thought that was just, that was nuts. I couldn't believe it. And so they ultimately get there, but I would like to know, and I know we'll never find this out, but I would love to know, how close were they to losing? Because obviously when they get on the mat, they're talking to Phil, they're giving their information, they're, you know, they're giving their like exit talks and where can we improve? What did you do wrong? So they're probably on that mat for 5 to 10 minutes every time they get there. But I would love to know, what was the time difference between leaving the baseball stadium and what was the time difference between Amber and Vinny actually beating Yvonne and Melissa? I wonder how much time Yvonne and Melissa made up, because I bet you they made up a lot.
Yeah. So close, yet so far.
And there you go. Your same, your all female team loses. McKenna doesn't even make it to the finale night. Even though the finale night now is final four instead of just three teams racing to the finish line. You know, you got any last words you want to say for them on their way out?
Justice for Yvonne and Melissa. We never got to see you ever in this game, but I was still pulling for you. I wish they would have gone further, and I wish we would have seen them in the beginning of the game. But they also had a confessional saying, like, they've been the, like, more under the radar team, not seen or heard, just like making their way through the race and slowly inching above people and above people and above people. But they couldn't finish it out to get into that four spot this season. So sad.
Yeah, no, it's what happens, right? That's the amazing. Yeah.
But then again, like, there, it's very rare that female teams go either into finale night or win the race.
Yeah. And do you think that there's, like, I know that, like, a lot of shows try to level out the playing field. Do you think there's ever a way that they'll be able to do it? I mean, we're 36 seasons in at this point.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like had Sunny and Busy gotten better at going from place to place, we could see them do actually really well. But I think it's just the specific teams are having issues.
Yeah.
Like that are just like not necessarily game related. They're like navigational related or something like that, where I think this season of the race with the challenges was actually rather equal. And mm-hmm. that anybody could do a lot of the legs, but it was, you know, it was a lot of self-navigation.
Yeah, it was a lot of self-navigation. And obviously I think that had a lot to do with COVID again, because mm-hmm. you had people separated, oh, for sure. Not the same in the amount of cars and all of that stuff. So we'll see, but that's it for the all female team. It's gone. What do you think about who's going to win? Who's your pick?
I find it hard to believe if Ricky and Cesar don't win, but I'm going to pull for Juan and Shane.
Okay. See, I'm going to pull for Ricky and Cesar. Like I said, I'm at the point where it's like, yeah, like give me the greatness. Here's a question from Justin Heinrichs. Do you think bad navigation is just being focused on more because it's 90 minutes? I think it could be, because that is something where it's easy to fill time with bad navigation.
Yeah, I agree. I think there are points where it's like they're shown bad navigation in other seasons, but it's like, oh, darn, we're lost. Crap. And then it shows like another 20 second clip like later down the line. And then finally they arrive somewhere. It's not like these mm-hmm. long stretches of hold on, wait, let's pull over. And especially because this season wasn't shot for 90 minutes. They have to fill it somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like that is just the easiest, because you know when these people are driving around, they are in a constant state of panic. Even mm-hmm. if they're not actually falling behind, even if they're not actually going the wrong way, they're always going to be constantly saying those things and arguing and yeah. you know, having that concern. So maybe that is being more focused on, because it's definitely what they have for 90 minutes. So mm-hmm. What else? Anything else? Do we cover everything?
I think so. One thing that I noticed when they were driving in the truck with the guys, Rod was the only one to sit in the passenger seat because he's so big and can't be in the back seat.
I like that. That's a fun little tidbit that I didn't notice, but that's enjoyable. I like that. Yeah. Big Rod. He's probably very excited that you noticed that. That probably gives him hope. Like, he pat himself on the back big time.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we covered everything.
Cool. Well, like I said, McKenna and Celestina will be putting out their normal route info this Saturday. And then next week, they'll be doing another route info regarding the finale. And then mine and McKenna's finale recap will be Monday, May 20th. So I will be doing the recap for the finale. It will be me and McKenna. We'll get that done. This way I can give my final thoughts on this season. Maybe my final thoughts ever on the Amazing Race. Might be the last time.
Who knows?
So yeah, we'll do that. And And that's it. Become a patron, patreon.com/specialist. If you're big into Survivor, we got a whole bunch of Survivor stuff going on over there. Great time to be a patron. And with the off season coming, we are going to be diving into other stuff. Like Will and I are probably 95% sure we're going to be doing Australian Survivor. So something to look forward to. A lot of people have been asking us to do that for a long time, and now we're actually going to. So thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Please like the video. Please subscribe to the channel. Go follow us on social media. Let us know what you thought about this episode, who you think is going to win, who's taking home the title of Amazing Race Champions. They don't have Soul Survivor in there. It's not a good thing. And that's it. We will see you on Monday, May 20th. Until then, goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.